this message, I was speaking to you last week about the title, Do Not Stifle Holy Spirit. And I gave you 3 points of how we can stifle Holy Spirit. Talked to you about that. But the first scripture I started with was 1 Thessalonians 5:19, and we're going to put it back up on the board. And it very simply says, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a message that Paul is speaking to the Thessalonians church, and when he is, this is one of the things he says in there. He says several other things, but this is one of the things he says. And this is important for us to understand. What does it mean to stifle Holy Spirit? Well, some versions use the word quench, and quench is a good word, but when you look at the actual meaning of the word, the Greek word that was being used here, it means to snuff out or to suffocate or to extinguish, okay? Quench means to extinguish, or I extinguish, but stifle means to make someone unable to breathe properly or suffocate. Make someone unable to breathe properly or suffocate. Now, we talked last week about Holy Spirit is not an it, okay? He is God. Amen? So whenever you hear someone refer to Holy Spirit as it, it moved up. No, it did move. He moved. Amen? So you don't refer to Holy Spirit as an it. He's not an object. He's not an it. He is a person. He is part of the Trinity, the Godhead. He is Holy Spirit. Amen? So a lot of people ask us, Kim and I have for years have said Holy Spirit instead of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever noticed that? Okay, we say that a lot. We've had a lot of people ask us, why do you say Holy Spirit instead of the Holy Spirit? And I know in the Bible it says the Holy Spirit, but the reason we do that is because of that very reason. Because for years we would depersonalize Holy Spirit by saying it or the Holy Spirit. Does anybody say the Jesus? No, you just say Jesus, right? And so when we don't say, the Jesus, we say Jesus. We don't say the Father, we say Father God or Father or God. Okay, so that's why we took the away from that, and we just say Holy Spirit. We speak to him as in the first person. So do not stifle Holy Spirit means do not make him unable to breathe properly. Do not suffocate him. And I used the candle and the flame last week as an example. And if you put something over a flame for long enough, it's going to snuff it out, right? It's the reason it snuffs out the flame is because it removes the oxygen. It suffocates the flame, okay? Makes the flame unable to breathe. And we can do the same thing with Holy Spirit. We can make him unable to breathe in our lives. The Holy Spirit is the breath of God. Amen? The Word of God is inspired. It's breathed. Right? I'm going to go back and give you just a little bit more background real quick. Remember in the beginning, God did what? He said, let there be light. He spoke. Right? When you speak, what is speech? How does it happen? How does it happen? You speak, you have air that is blowing over vocal cords, right? To create the sound, to create the sound or the language that you're speaking. So you're breathing or you're blowing over vocal cords. So it's the breath of God. Remember when God created Adam and Eve, when he created human beings, God reached down into the ground, grabbed a handful of dirt, and he breathed life into that dirt, right? So we're no longer just dirt. We're human beings. And so God's breath brought life. God's word brings life. Holy Spirit is life, okay? And so in Acts, we see that Holy Spirit came in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, and he landed upon them or lit upon them as tongues of fire, right? That's what the Word of God says. He came as tongues of fire upon them. So he is a fire. So we can extinguish that. We can put that fire out. We can snuff it out or stifle it by some things that we do or don't do, right? Holy Spirit is looking for us to partner with him, to allow him to work in our lives, to bring life wherever we go. Amen? In us, in other people, wherever we go. We used a couple scriptures, Ephesians 4:30, and do not grieve Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you've been sealed for the day of redemption. And then Acts 7:51, you stubborn people, you're heathen at heart and deaf to the truth, must you forever resist the Holy Spirit. That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. So, I went and gave you 3 points last week of how we can stifle Holy Spirit. The first one was we stifle Holy Spirit when we rely decisively on any other resource, any resource other than Holy Spirit, for anything we do in life and ministry. Okay? And I talked a little bit about that, relying on someone or something other than Holy Spirit. Okay? The second way we can stifle Holy Spirit is we stifle Holy Spirit when we diminish his personality and speak of him if he were an abstract power or just a source of divine energy. Okay? Again, he is not an it. He is a person. All right? And then reason number three or point number three was we stifle Holy Spirit whenever we suppress or legislate against his work of imparting spiritual gifts and ministering to the church through them. All right? Every gift of the Spirit is in its own way a manifestation of Holy Spirit himself. Do you get that? Every gift of the Spirit is in its own way a manifestation of Holy Spirit itself. So whatever gifts God has given you, spiritual gifts, when you display those gifts or act in those gifts, it's actually a manifestation of Holy Spirit coming through you. That's why it's important to know your gifts and use your gifts for the glory of God. Amen? All right. How many of you know your gifts? Raise your hand if you know your gifts. You know what you're gifted to do by Holy Spirit. Raise them up high. I need to know if you know them or not. All right? All right. Several, most of you. How many of you would say, just be honest, say, I don't know what my gifts are? Raise your hand and say, I don't know what my gifts are. Okay. All right. That's okay. If you don't know what your gifts are, that's okay for now, but it's not okay to stay there. Amen? It's not okay to stay there. You need to figure out what your gifts are. Well, how do I figure out what my gifts are? Well, that's another sermon, maybe even a lesson for me to give you. I can't just give it to you in, you know, a nutshell, but let me give you the best I can right now. If you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, then I would say the first thing you need to do is pray and ask God, okay, show me what they are, because he wants to show you, okay? Because a lot of people come to me and say, I don't know what my gifts are. Can you help me out? I can talk to you, and I can, you know, dig around and, you know, kind of like, let me see here and let me get ask you some questions and all of that. And we could probably figure out probably what you lean toward, what you're gifted to do, but you really need Holy Spirit to tell you. Why? Because if Bill tells you what your spiritual gifts are, I may get it wrong. I may get it wrong. I know you don't, but that could happen, all right? Don't put me up on a pedestal. This is a platform. I can just get down there with you. I'm like, you know, I'm no different than you are. I was just chosen to lead this local body of believers, okay? So I don't want to do that. You need to hear from Holy Spirit. I don't want to get it wrong, but I do try to help as best I can. But two, if you hear it from me, it's one thing. And you may go out there and you may try to work in those gifts, okay? And let's just say I get it right. And I do know, you know, and the Holy Spirit's revealed to me and I share with you and you go out there to work in it and you're going to work at it. But when things get rough or when you go through a rough patch or you're having difficulties, when Bill told you this is what your gift is, it's a lot easier to go, eh, right? Man, I've worked pretty hard at this. I don't know. Maybe Bill was wrong. You know what I mean? But when Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of God tells you, these are your gifts, I have gifted you with this, then when the going gets rough, it's a lot harder to quit on Holy Spirit. Amen? That's why you need to hear from him. All right? But then I would say, after you've talked to him, if you're still struggling and you just don't know, then talk to a mentor or a pastor. You know, I am one, but we have several here on staff, a spiritual care pastor, Gabrielle Smith. She helps. She's really good at that. She helps people kind of study the word and things like that. So you can do all of those things, all right? But the most important thing is to know this. You have what we call a personality. How many of you know that? Right? You got a personality, right? It may be different than somebody else's, but you have a personality. If somebody ever told you you don't have a personality, like if anybody ever said to you, Mike, you got a personality of a brick, well, that's a word curse. And you just throw your hand up at that and say, I don't receive that. All right? Smack that person across the face and walk away. I'm just kidding. Don't you dare do that. But you just, you know what I mean? You have a personality. You may be an introvert, like my son-in-law, Scott, who was raised that way and kind of introvert. He's not any longer. Amen? He's up here leading worship, man. He's no introvert anymore. Right? But you may be like that. You may be quieter in your personality. Or you may be more like me, who's like, hey, what's up? I'm in the room. How many of you know somebody like that? How many of you know somebody? That's my daughter, Danielle. Anybody know Danielle? That's Danielle. Danielle, you know Danielle's in the room when she's like five rooms over. She hasn't even reached the room. She's in the room. But you have a personality. So who gave us that personality? The Lord. Now, you may have been molded and shaped a little bit, nurtured, you know. Okay, family members and parents and stuff may have had influence on you in some ways. But honestly, when you really look at it, we're created that way. How many of you know that? How many of you have kids that have, like, completely different personalities? Like, we have three children, and all three of their personalities are completely different, right? And so, Gabrielle, I don't see her in here this morning. She's back here. Gabrielle is, her personality is, Gabrielle is a people person, right? Anybody talked to Gabrielle before? Yeah. Gabrielle loves to talk. She's back here laughing. I hear her back in this room right now. She's laughing. She loves to talk, right? She's a talker. Danielle's that, woo, here I am. Middle child, hello. And Stefan, our son, is more quiet. He's subdued. He's quiet. He kind of, you know, keeps to himself a little bit, right? Very intellectual, okay? And so you know that. And I can look back from the time they were born and see the mark of God on them, those personalities. They were created that way. Are y'all listening to me this morning? And there's so often we want to stifle how God created us. Listen to me right now. We want to change it. We don't like that about ourselves. We don't like that we're that way. Maybe we don't like it because somebody has said something to us that hurt us, you know? Or maybe we don't like it because the enemy has lied to us. Why do you think the enemy lies to you about your personality? Why do you think the enemy wants you to change that about yourself? Because God created you that way. God created you with that personality. So don't let the enemy take that away. Don't let him steal that. Don't let him stifle Holy Spirit by you going, oh, I'm not going to be that way. Right? That's okay. Let God be God in what he created. Amen? So that's some of the ways we can stifle Holy Spirit. Number four, I'm going to get to number four. Number four is we stifle Holy Spirit whenever we create an inviolable and sanctimonious structure in our corporate gatherings and worship services that does not permit spontaneity or the special leading of Holy Spirit. Amen? This is a big one. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the first couple here, but I just, you know, I've got four more. I've got four, five, six, and seven. So I just want to say this. We can stifle Holy Spirit, start to smother him, when we try to put all these limits on him. We have our services, and this is what we're talking about here, in our services, in our corporate gatherings, we can stifle Holy Spirit by limiting him, by putting him in a box, by saying, well, this is the time frame that you get to work in this week in our corporate setting. Hello? Right? Woo, that's a tough one, isn't it? And we all fall victim to this because we all have allowed the enemy to weave his way in with these time constraints. And we live in America, And we're all about time here. We're all about, it's my time, and my time is valuable, you know, and all of those type of things. And we get so busy with life, and we get so busy with all the things that we're doing, and we've packed our schedule so full that we've limited the time that we give to God. So we come on Sunday mornings. You know, think about it. I don't want to get too deep into this, but if you think about it, we've done all these things to bring all these comforts to the church, and they still do not make a difference when it comes to the time we'll give God. You can pull the hard wooden pews out and put these soft, cushy chairs in all you want. You can get free coffee and you can do all these things all you want. You can have the bathrooms right there so you don't have to go too far all you want. You can get air conditioning in and so you don't have to sweat while you're worshiping the Lord in the summer. You can do all of these things and people still are going to go, this is how much time I'm willing to give. And it's gotten so bad in our country that what we do is we get uncomfortable when we're in a worship service and there's not this order and something's happening and moving. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And there'll just be this lull, like this time, like we did kind of a little bit this morning, but where just the music's playing. You don't have somebody up here leading you and, you know, I don't want to say it this way, but it is kind of this way, cheering you on. Let's go. You don't have that, and there's just this settling of the Spirit of God, and we can get uncomfortable with that. And we can't just sit in it and linger and wait upon the Lord. Now, how many of you think that God knows that? Amen. He sure does. He knows that. And so we stifle Holy Spirit because we go, okay, we gotta do this, we gotta do this, and we gotta do this. And boy, if worship goes longer than an hour, you know, they start to get antsy and they start to move, and they're like, oh man, they're like, when's the message gonna come? Because the message is the most important. How many of you know that's not true? Word of God is important, but you need to get into worship first. You need to worship, you need to lay at his feet. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you, it's hard to get up here and preach the Word of God and have that anointing when we don't take time to just worship the Lord and give him the honor that's due his name. The truth of the matter is we could be here till midnight tonight and it would never be enough. Right? It would never be enough. We should worship him day and night, night and day. But the problem is we get in here and we put these time constraints on it. And you know what I'm talking about. You get in, you start feeling like, oh man, this is kind of going on. This is going on. Wow, this is, whew, okay. It's 11:05. Man, and you know he's going to preach for like an hour because he's so long-winded. And so, and the Lord is here. Holy Spirit, he is here. And he is hearing your thoughts and listening to that, and he's seeing your heart. And so what do you think that's doing? Do you think that that is fanning the flame of Holy Spirit? No, it's doing this. It's stifling the Holy Spirit. He's like, I want to move, I want to do, but you got to allow me to do it. You're putting these put me in this box, you're putting these time constraints on me. What would happen if we got here and we just said, we're going to worship until we have supernatural breakthrough? We're just going to worship. We're just going to let the music play and we're going to worship. What would happen if we got here and we said, look, we're going to start off, we're going to worship, we'll sing a song or two, and then we're going to go, you know what? We've led you to the throne room, now worship the Lord. And we just took the microphones away and we let the music play and just worship. This is going to lead me into the next one, so I'm just going to go right into the next one. The next one, number five, is we stifle Holy Spirit when we make worship about ourselves, about us. We stifle Holy Spirit when we make worship about us. Several years ago, Kim and I started being convicted of this, and we started looking at the songs we sing. And have you ever noticed there are songs that we sing that are worship songs, but they're all about us?
Yes.
Yeah. Right? And that's okay. Some of those songs are okay to sing. You know, it's all right. I'm not going to criticize. I'm not even going to name a song. I'm not going to name a song. But there are a lot of songs that we'll sing that are really about us, about what's happening in our lives and when we get to heaven and all of that, right? Okay, I'm going to name one song. Because y'all are naming some in your heads right now, aren't you? Aren't you? When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Good job. Good job. Some of you are like, I don't know what that song is. Yes, when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory, right? That's great, but who's that song really about? When we all get to heaven. And worship is supposed to be about worshiping Him. Him, right? Not about what's going to happen with us. That's great. It's true. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Those are true words, amen? It's not that the words aren't true, they are. And it's a great song. And Rick, did you sing that when you were young? Did you play that? Yeah, oh yeah. Rick could pull out the B3 right now and whip that out. Oh, man, all the runs and everything, right? But, many of us sang that song, but that song is really about us. And the Lord, when we're worshiping, we're supposed to be coming before Him with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. We're supposed to be worshiping His name. We're supposed to be declaring who He is and how good He is and how wonderful He is, right? That's why that song this morning, Great Are You, Lord, it's such a great anthem song, isn't it? I mean, come on, you stood there, you're singing that, you're shouting that song to the top of your lungs because it's such a great anthem song. Why? Because it's a worship song. It's about Him. It's about His greatness. And we sang it over and over again, and that's another thing. Another thing is that we'll go, oh man, we're going to sing this song. We're going to sing this again? All right. We've told Him He's great like 1,000 times this morning. Right? That's it. Man, I love the feeling of the Spirit of God in this place this morning. Y'all feel this? You feel this? Like, so free right now. Just to speak the truth of His word. Look, y'all, this is all of us. We all tend to do these things. And we'll stifle Holy Spirit. Instead, let's sing it 1,001. Amen? 1,002. 3. After service last week, a couple girls came up, young girls, and they said, we thought you were just pulling the flame right up out of the... That was amazing. I know, isn't it? Woo! I could do this all day. You're fanning the flame of Holy Spirit. You're not stifling Him. You're fanning the flame every time you sing it, every time you go back around. Great are You, Lord. It's Your breath in our lungs, and so we pour out our praise to You, Lord. It's Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. And every time you do it, you're fanning the flame of Holy Spirit. You can feel that right now in your spirit. And He's going, that's it. That's it. What do you think Elijah did with the prophets of Baal? You think Elijah was just making fun of those prophets the whole day when they were cutting themselves and running around and dancing and doing all the stuff they were doing? You think he was just making, no, he wasn't just making fun of them. That was a good part of that. I love that part of the scripture where he says, well, shout a little louder. Maybe your God is using the bathroom. I love that, right? We all do, because we all like sarcasm. But except for when it's being used on us. But we love that part. But Elijah wasn't just doing that. Elijah was getting ready. He was fanning the flame of Holy Spirit. He's like, oh, I cannot wait till my turn, because my God is the one true living God. He's about to do something up in here. He's about to show you something up in here, because he has never let me down. He is a great, great God. Like, he was fanning the flame of Holy Spirit. So when that prophet's Baal got done, Elijah's like, here we go. Because the atmosphere was ready. The room, the place was ready. Right? And he didn't have to work anything up. He just had, because he fanned the flame of Holy Spirit, he just says, you know what? It's too dry. Let's put some water on that. Let's pour some water on that. Let's go ahead and, you know, and don't, let me just tell you something here. You need to understand this. During that time, they were in a drought, in a severe drought. So because they were in a severe drought, water was in high demand. It was a commodity, a precious commodity at that time that you couldn't get your hands on. So for him to say, I want you to put 12 pitchers of water, 12 buckets of water on top of that altar. They put so much water that they dug a trench around it, and it filled the trench and overflowed the trench. That's how much water was on top of this. And then when they got done with that, he said, okay, now we're ready. And all he said was, Father, Lord God, show them that you're the real, the true living God. And boom, fire came from heaven, and it burned up the entire altar, the sacrifice, all the wood, the stones, and even licked up all the water in the trench. Because he had fanned the flame of Holy Spirit, and when he said, God, show yourself, he did. And we want God to move in this place. You want people to come running to this altar. You want to see that supernatural power of God fall like fire from heaven, then we need to fan the flame of Holy Spirit. And one of the ways we do that is in our worship. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. This is not a stage. This is not a stage where performances take place. This is a platform to worship God Almighty, to lead his people to the throne room of God. That's what this is for, and that alone. It's not a stage. When anyone uses this platform for their own personal gain or their own agenda, the flame is extinguished. Boom, put out. I've heard worship leaders try to mix secular lyrics in worship songs. Extinguished. I told you this last week. I don't have time to go into it again this week, but Holy Spirit will not mix with the demonic. He will not do it. You don't need to get some clever song, secular song, get the lyrics from that clever song and bring it up here on this platform and try to mix it in with music that we're trying to sing to God. Holy Spirit will not do it. He will not have any of it. He'll shut it down. You will extinguish the flame. You'll stifle Holy Spirit if you try to do that. I've heard worship leaders try to do that. I've heard this new trendy phrase. I've heard it so much, and it bothers me so much. This new trendy phrase, oh, there's something on that. Oh, sing it again. There's something on that. If Holy Spirit is moving like that, and you would say it like that, why would you so flippantly refer to him as something? He is not something. He is Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of God. So quit saying, oh, there's something on that. Oh, do that again. There's something on that. No, he is the Spirit of God, and stop saying that kind of stuff. There's not something on that. There's not something in this place. The Holy Spirit is in this place. Amen? So we need to come in here and just worship him in spirit and in truth. We need to stop trying to rush through these services and stop looking at our watches and stop worrying. Yes, there needs to be order. There needs to be order. Someone needs to be in charge. Holy Spirit needs to be in charge, but there needs to be a human being that runs the order of this thing, right? And that's my responsibility. Okay? I don't think there's... This is not something to brag about, but I don't think there's very many services over the 10 and a half years that we've gone longer than 3 hours in service. I remember a service back years ago at Fort Gratiot. This is when we were two services over there. And we had a 9 a.m. service. Is that right? Who remembers that? 9 a.m. and 11? Was that right? 9 and 11? And so when the 9 a.m. service was over, it wasn't over. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Anybody remember that serve, that time? And it went into the 11 a.m. service, and people were coming in for the 11 service, and the 9 people were still there, and they weren't leaving. So just squeeze in, find a place, step over them that are on the floor right now, and we're going to keep going. And we kept going. And I don't know, it was like 2 in the afternoon when that 9 a.m. service ended. And the 11 a.m. just joined right in with it. And what I loved that, but what I don't like is it's so few and far between. Who remembers that? Who was there? Who was there? Okay. So there's several of you that were there. So many powerful things that happen when we just let him breathe. Just let him breathe. And I'm not saying, please don't take it this way, I'm not saying it's all our fault, right? But I'm saying that we so often put limitations on him in our services because of our lives and what we've developed in our lives, that we stifle Holy Spirit. He wants to move. He wants to move. You just have to let him. You just have to fan the flame. You have to give him permission. You have to say, look, here's something. Look, Lord, I'm feeling uncomfortable right now. And it's all me. I know it's me. I know you're wanting to do something right here, right now. And I'm kind of holding this in. Has anybody in here ever wanted to just shout, like just to the top of your lungs, but you held it in? Raise your hand. Okay. So here's the question. Why? Why? Right? I don't have time to go into this, but maybe this is next week's message, because I feel this right now. Do you know how many wonderful things happened in the Word of God because of a shout? Right? Imagine if the people marching around Jericho, it's on the seventh day, and they marched how many times? Seven times. And on the seventh time, the Lord told them to do what? Shout. He didn't say pull out your swords. He didn't say start throwing rocks. He didn't say charge the walls. He said shout, for I have given you the victory. And so I wonder how many victories we're holding back because we won't release the shout. Well, that's kind of crazy. That's a little Pentecostal. Well, that's what we are. We're Pentecostals. I didn't know if you knew that or not, but that's the kind of church you're in, okay? We believe that stuff. Because that stuff is truth. So we need to raise our voice and shout. We don't need to, by holding that back, we're stifling Holy Spirit. You're like, yeah, but that might look crazy. I don't know what's going to happen, because after a shout might come a run. Do you know how many great things happened in the Word of God when people ran? Oh, y'all think I'm joking. When the prodigal son, who was in the pig pen and had no food to eat, come on, remembered that in his father's house there was more than enough. And he humbled himself and went back to the father's house. When the father saw him coming afar off, he picked up his robe and he started running to his son. And threw his arms around him and embraced him and said, go get him a robe and get him a ring, for my son was dead, but now he's alive. And I'm telling you, God wants to do that right here, right now. But we've got to fan the flame of the Holy Spirit, because I know there are hurting people in this congregation because your sons and your daughters are in the pig pen right now. But they're coming home. They're coming home. I had someone this morning text me and say, will you please pray for my son? And I feel for him so much right now because he's hurting. He said he's away from the Lord. Will you please pray for him? And I don't know what this father is feeling right now, but he must feel like it's really close. And so I'm saying, if we'll just fan the flame of Holy Spirit, do not stifle Holy Spirit. He is going to have his way. He will make it happen. All right, number six, I got to move on. Number six is do not scoff at prophecies. We stifle Holy Spirit whenever we scoff at prophecies. Oh, man, I could spend a lot of time on this one. A lot, but I won't. I won't. Because I need to spend more time on the last one. Do not scoff at prophecies. Listen, this is important. Actually, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there's right after do not stifle Holy Spirit, the very next verse says do not scoff at prophecies. What does scoff mean? It means like, yeah, oh, wow, they've been saying that for years. Oh, I've heard that one before. Oh, really? Do not scoff at prophecies. And it's not just talking about the prophetic and the word of God. It's talking about the prophetic that comes out of you and me. Because God is speaking today. Amen? He's speaking today. And the enemy has worked very hard to stifle Holy Spirit in this fashion, in this form, to stop the prophetic from being spoken. He has worked really hard to stop the prophetic from being spoken. There are prophetic words that need to be spoken. Now, I'm not talking about from like these well-known preachers or evangelists or people that are visible and well-known. I'm talking about from you and others in the body of Christ. If you have a prophetic gift, you should be speaking. If you have a prophetic gift, you should be speaking. And I'm going to say this to you. Though that gift, when you're using that gift, it should always be done in love. Always. If you're speaking a prophetic word and there's not love, the love of God, attached to it, driving it, going before it, then it's not from God. Okay? And a lot of people are afraid of prophetic words because they feel like prophetic words are gloom and doom. But that's not true. That's a lie from the enemy. He's trying to scare you to shut up the prophetic. It's not gloom and doom. It's actually all good. If it comes from God, it is good. Amen? It's good. Prophetic word from God that's in the scriptures is that the world will be destroyed by fire. How many of you know that's true? It's in the Word of God. In the end, the world will be destroyed by fire, right? That's scriptural. It's in the Word of God. So that sounds terrible, okay? But that actually is a good thing, because God will redeem all things. God has a people, us, hello, that are redeemed, and in the end, we will reign with him for eternity, right? So when you hear a prophecy like that, a prophetic word like that, don't just take that word, take the whole thing in context. What is God going to do in the end? A prophetic word was one of the prophetic words. There were many of them, but there were over 600 prophecies about the Messiah. and what he would do and how what he would fulfill. And do you know that Jesus fulfilled every one of them? Right? He's coming again. How many of you know that? He's coming again. That's a prophecy. So do not scoff at the prophecies. Do not scoff at prophetic words. If someone has a gift of prophecy and they approach you and give you a word that they believe is from the Lord, do not scoff at it. And in fact, the scripture says, right after it says, do not scoff at prophecies, the very next scripture says, but test everything. Test every spirit. Right? So that means don't scoff at it. Go, okay, thank you for that word, and I'm going to pray about that. And go pray about it. Don't just say I'm going to pray about it and go, that's scoffing at it. Go pray and say, Lord, was that from you? Yes. And if that was from you, show me and speak to me and reveal to me what you're trying to say. Amen? That is the way we should handle the prophetic. All right? And that means everything, whether you're hearing it from somebody personally in the body, the local body, or you hear something, a prophetic words out there online. Man, with social media these days, you can hear them everywhere. But don't just blow them off, and don't just feel like you have to receive every one of them. Just pray about it. Ask the Lord what he says. Okay, so number seven, I got to go into that one. Number seven is we stifle Holy Spirit whenever we diminish his activity that alerts and awakens us to the glorious and majestic truth that we are truly sons and daughters of God. We stifle Holy Spirit when we diminish his activity that alerts us, that awakens us to the truth that we are truly his sons and daughters. Isaiah 63 verses 9 through 11 says this. Watch this. In all their suffering, he also suffered, and he personally rescued them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them through all the years. But they rebelled against him and grieved his spirit. So he became their enemy and fought against them. Now watch verse 11, okay? Verse 11, ready? Then they remembered those days of old, when Moses led his people out of Egypt. And they cried out, where is the one who brought Israel through the sea with Moses as their shepherd? Where is the one who sent his Holy Spirit to be among his people? What were they doing? They remembered. They remembered what God did. They stifled Holy Spirit because of the way they were acting, their rebellion, and all of the things they were doing. But then the Word of God says, then they remembered the days of old. They remembered what God did in the past, and they called out to him. They were saying, God, I need you to do that again. Lord, I want you to come and do that again. Listen, we may have stifled the Holy Spirit at times in our lives and in our worship services and in different points, but God is looking for a people that will call out to him and remember the days of old. Somebody needs to remember that Jesus took you out of the pit of hell and set your feet upon the rock. Jesus saved you. Jesus redeemed you. Because of his blood, you are brand new. And somebody needs to remember that and say, God, I need you to work in my life again. I want to give Holy Spirit room. They remembered his spirit. Somebody needs to remember that Jesus went into all the towns and villages when he was here on this earth. He went to all the towns and villages. And the Bible says that when he went into those towns and villages, they brought all the sick to him. And he healed them all. Oh, I'm going to say that again. I said Jesus went into all the towns and villages, and they brought all the sick to him. Every time in the Word of God, every time they brought all the sick, and he healed them all. We stifle the Holy Spirit when we go, well, maybe we're just not supposed to be healed. Well, maybe it's just not going to happen in our lives. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe God doesn't heal everybody. And I get it. Believe me, I get it. I get how the enemy will work on our minds, and it'll bring so much lies and fear to us. Even all this bad theology and teaching to us that we'll receive, we'll hear it so many times, we'll be like, man, well, maybe that's true. Maybe Jesus doesn't heal them all. Maybe Jesus doesn't. But then I got to go back. I got to remember the days of old. I got to remember the Word of God. If I want to fan the flame of Holy Spirit and not stifle it, then I got to remember he went into all the villages, all the towns, and he healed them all. And then I got to declare it. I got to say, Lord, I know what your word says. I know the truth of your word. And the enemy is a liar, and he's been speaking to me, telling me, well, maybe I got this wrong. Maybe I'm not supposed to be healed. Maybe I just need to live with this for the rest of my life. Maybe, Lord, maybe you're going to heal me some other way. When I get to heaven, you're going to heal me. No, that's not what the Lord is saying to you. Man, I just...